We're certainly blessed to have a few visiting brothers, elder brothers, and elder assistants that came from yesterday's meeting. We have Brother Jose Cervantes, who's going to be serving us this morning. Brother Steve Auer will be assisting, and please pray for these dear brothers as they serve us.
I praise the Lord to be here, and I've been moved to open the scripture in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. I will ask Brother Steve if you can kind to read that scripture for me, please.
Sveto Evangelije po Marku, peta glava.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and crieth with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat.
This morning, I trust that we, each one of us, will be under the shadow of the hiding of the highest. And we trust that it's his mercy that brought us here together this morning to hear his word. We just heard and read three different stories. As we can read the scripture, we can find out many. And probably each one of us can choose what that we like it most. And it's for sure that that will be probably related to our own lives. We know our path. We know where we come from, what the Lord has been done in our lives. And we are here together with, from different backgrounds. Our bag of sin, probably some of us was heavier than others. And the pit that we was brought out was much worse than some others. But it's only by the grace of God that we are here. This is the precious privilege that we have. We just heard the first story about Jesus coming and crossing the sea. And he started walking in the land. And a certain man came running, crying out. I don't know exactly everything that was said that day, the moment. The scripture don't give us a lot of details about that day. Probably we would like to have the opportunity to be there when that story happened, the moment. And we can see a man, and I will say probably like a man, crying out and say, "Jesus, what you have against me?" He don't have anything against him. But Jesus knew what was in this man's life. There was a purpose for him to cross the sea and land in that area. Somebody cried before that day and plead to God, "This is my conclusion, that something can be done with that man that looks more like a beast." And describe some of the details, what kind of life there was this man. He had not a normal life. Probably there was a family crying out. See this man or young man walking in life and doing things terrible that breaks parents, family heart, and no control. Rules, he broke all of them. And he was taught with different types of things, and one of them was chains, and he broke and made pieces all of them. Plus, this man broke many hearts, probably father and mother. And there was nothing that can stop him. Probably this is nothing compared to your life. Probably we had to go to California and see some of those men under the bridges. They break our hearts. Last Monday, I was talking to a young man, a middleman age. I know him one time when I was visiting the church in San Jose. This man, he just walked out of drugs. And he came and he says, "Brother," they call me brother, and says, "I want to give you this money to you." Was not much. There was probably a half a dollar. He says, "You said whatever you can. And want to thank you to visit that church, to help these people." He was a son of one of our sisters. I see that this man was deeply slave of drugs, but he walked out of that. But see, last Monday, I saw the same man that I saw 10 years ago in the same condition. And I asked him, "Where do you live?" He says, "Sometimes under a tree." and sometimes under a bridge. We had those two over there. I said, your mother has been praying for you. People have been trying to help you. What has happened in your life? And I remember him. I said, I remember when you walked to me and you said, here is some money. And you said, please. There were some tears. Of course. He says, it's not easy. It's not easy. I said, I know that it's not easy, but if you can cry to God, he will deliver you. He will give you power of that condition. And I can go on and on with other situations. 20 years ago, I visited one of the prisons in Tijuana. I visited a friend that he had ruined a life of a family. And I was invited to go there. I will be honest, I had no desire to go and visit that man, but I went anyway. Because I know what happened in his life. And probably we know some cases that we just don't feel moved to do anything. But I went anyway. And don't make any sense to him that I visit him. So I start walking in the prison around. One of the prisons that people can get anything if they can pay for. Anything. They're free there. And somebody raised his hand and kind of called by my name. I don't remember this person. And I walked closer and he came, he ran and hugged me. He says, I want to be out of this place and I want to go back to church. He was there because many different things. But see, years passed, he was free. One day came and his mom was not there anymore. Several times, came in at different times to my home. He didn't know what time was. Several times came to close to midnight. I would give him food. I would talk to him, but his mom was not there. Last year, he was shot and died. Never happened anything in his relationship with God. He promised me, I will go to church. This man, they came to Jesus. He has a heavy burden, heavy bag in his life. He don't know where else to go. And I believe there was God's mercy that this man came running towards Jesus. Is the right place to be. That is the right place to be. There's no other place. I don't know. You know what was in his home? Doesn't say the age, but probably was a middle life, in the middle life, probably, I don't know, 20, 40. But this man, he was so despair. He damaged his body with rocks, and everybody was afraid of him. There was no hope. Parents try everything for their children. We raise our children as much close to God we could. But see, rebellion is very common. And young people don't want to listen. Don't want to listen. Just go their own way. And I don't know what happened, what age he was when this happened in his life, and he was a terrible life. And Jesus came and talked to this man and talked to the devil. There was a legion, many. And I don't know all the things that he did. Probably this man, I don't know, he was married even. And he was controlled, and he probably did everything. You cannot imagine, we cannot imagine how much he did in his life. He was well known. People was scared about this man. He will scream in the night. He will run from one place to another. We have many of those in Tecate. They come to our garbage cans and they just dig in and dig in. And my wife more than once came to the gate and says, "This is not a time for you to be here." So they left. And another one come. And she said the same thing. And they left. And another one come. There's many. You don't have to be there. You don't have to be one of those. We don't have to be one of those type of person. God can clean our hearts and minds and our lives. And we can be a normal person. So people are not afraid about us. People cannot be afraid of us. People can come and trust us. And people can be comfortable being close to us. And I know that Jesus makes the difference in every person's life. I know because that was my own experience. He helped us to do the right thing. The devil, the demons, spoke to Jesus and says, "Don't chase us away. Let us go into the pigs so we can be there." And he allowed them to go. And this man was free. And he was dressed, and he was normal, and he was at the feet of Jesus. See, this is what he does. Changes lives. He paid the price. He did everything for us so we can be his children, and we can be the children of God. Many years ago, I heard a story of a little boy that his father brings some pieces of wood because they was poor, so he wants a little boat to play. There was a little river close by home, so his father bring pieces of wood from work, and he start putting pieces together, and he make a little boat and put a little, I cannot remember the word they use, but the sail probably, I think it is. And when he finally finished, he looked at the boat and he says, "That is beautiful. I make this boat." And he just went to the little river or a creek by his place and played a lot with that boat. But something happened. He let the boat go, and he could not reach it, and he was gone. He was really sad. "I lost my boat." So he went and asked, "Father, can you buy another one? I lost it." So he went in town, walk and see the toys, and then he was marveled to see a boat and one at the behind glass place. And he recognizes that is the boat that I make. I don't know what he's doing here, but I'm going to go and get it. When he went inside the house, the store, and talked to the owner and says, "Sir, the boat that is there is mine. I made it." He says, "I'm sorry, somebody brought it here. I purchased it. Now it's for sale. You pay the price, and it's yours." He went home crying and told his dad, says, "I found my boat, but somebody else got it." It has a price. Father gave him the money, and he went and paid the price and got it. And then he looked at the little boat and he says, "I make you, and I last you. I pay the price. You are mine. You double mine." And this is, brothers, sisters, friend, this is exactly what God does for us. He made us, and we walk away probably like this man that had a legion. Live in sin, fornication, adultery, murder probably, in many ways, lying, doing that kind of sin. And we were captured and put in some place. And we need somebody to pay the price that we can be in our owner's hands again. And Jesus exactly paid the price. And he, when you come to him, when we came to him, he just told us, "I made you. I paid the price. You are mine. You are double mine." This is why he's waiting for us. He's waiting for you. He want to go with Jesus because he was free. There is no other choice that we want to go, where we want to go. We want to be with Jesus. But Jesus says, "No, go to your family. Tell them what great things he's done for you." And he went. And he went and shared everywhere where he was just going through. And he said to people what Jesus did for him. This is what we do when we become converted. We go and talk to our loved ones, to our family. I remember that day that I shared with my father. I was a Christian. I come from a Catholic background, where every Sunday we was sitting in the back of the church just playing and making jokes and making all kinds of stuff. No respect. But my mother always tell me, "You need to go, you need to go." So we went. But the day that I told my father that I was a Christian, that I became converted, he just don't understand. And I told my mother. And she just said, "Well, if this is good for you, that's fine." Took 7 years for her to observe my life, to listen what I said, and to compare with my acts. And one day I said, "Mom, what are you waiting for? What is keeping you away from God's fellowship?" And she says, "Son, I made my decision. I asked God to forgive me And I don't know what else to do. And probably some like that you've been asked God to forgive you because you know that what you did is wrong. You type a life, you know when you're alone, when you're in somewhere, you have a heavy load. You don't know what to do with it. That day we pray. She asked God for forgiveness, and she was converted. She went to the Lord last month. I gave my last hug to her. And I know that from that day to the eternity, she made me make a promise a week before through the phone. And I don't know. I thought that probably she's going to make it. But she just called me and says, I want you to see you preaching on Sunday. That was not my turn. So I talked to the brothers. I said, my mother asked me to preach on Sunday. It's not my turn. But there was no problem, no problem. So she see me preaching on Sunday. And 4 days later, she went with the Lord. You know, this is the joy that we can have for life, for eternity. And we share with our family. We're not afraid to talk to them. We can change our lives. God change our hearts, change our lives, our minds, and we are happy to share with anyone what is done in our lives. And I believe that this man went and talked to everyone and said, Jesus, deliver me. No more chains, no more trouble. Because one day he cried out to God. Probably there was some other prayers behind. Some others. And then we hear another story about a man, a woman. She was sick for 12 years. And probably that can be your story too. Your heart has been bleeding. You know what to do. You don't know where to go. And you try everything. With a man that I talked last Monday, we put him in a rehab center, and he just came out like a normal person. 2 days later, he went back to the same. He went back to the same. And he was ashamed because we tried to help him. See, sin brings shame. Doesn't matter where you are. In your heart, you know, we know how far we are from God. We know how far. Three years ago, being in San Jose again, I go at least four times a year, five times a year. Another man came in the same condition. I said, after he told me I lost my family, I know I'm wrong, I'm doing wrong. He was involved with the cartels, drug dealers. And I said, you need to get out of there. He says, I can't. That day we pray and I asked him to read Psalms 40. And he started reading it. And he said, that is me. I said, but over there says that you can cry to God and he will put you out of the pit. Of the muddy pit. You can cry out to God. That day he prayed. And that day was the last day that he was on drugs. And he moved away from the city. This is what God can do for you. Even if you are, your life has been bleeding and you try everything. It's very expensive to cover sin. You know, there is no way. There is no place that you can put sin and will stay there. It's going to follow you. Wherever you are, and make you slave. You cannot be broken in pieces. Only God can do that. This woman followed Jesus. And then her life, mind and life, she tried everything. She spent everything, every single dollar probably that she could have. There was no other place. But see, she started thinking, what should I do? This man does miracles. This man does miracles. Many people, they don't trust, they don't believe that this can be changed in his life. I remember giving some other people drugs. You know, this I know because I knew that there was a problem with drinking. I know they have problem with drugs. So I give him a drug, the talk about drugs or alcohol. They look at it and say, yeah, I have a friend that has this problem. That will help him. I said, no, but you read it first. And then you can give it away. They don't look their hearts. Oh, friend, please look your heart. It's been bleeding. You try. But come to Jesus. This woman came close to Jesus and she thought, if I can just grab, touch his robe. See, this one action. This is God's mercy that is there close to us. And there is the human willing that you need to grab the rope. And you will see the difference. That is precious when you realize, oh, I should have done it before. I was miserable. I should have done it before. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Going to other places, come to Jesus. Try it. Cry out. Probably there's no hope. When Jesus went to the ruler's house to see his little daughter, and just imagine being there, being the mother, being the father of that little girl. It's not easy. My mother was sick for 3 weeks with COVID. And my family took care of her for 3 weeks, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And they cried to God, heal my mother, help her. And we pray and pray. 2 days before she passed away, my youngest sister, because she promised to the Lord, she'd been having some struggles spiritually. And then she says, God, if you heal my mother, I will go with her to church on Sunday. And she was there helping her hours and hours through the night and day. But the last 2 days, she cried to God and said, Lord, please take her home. We were willing to give up. We know what God knows what is the best. But in that young girl, 12 years old, everybody says she's dead. And he says she's sleeping. I can see the questions and the faces turning around and say, do you don't think that we know when somebody's dead? Do you not don't think that we know something about dead? But I can see Jesus saying, but I know not only about dead, I know about life. He grabbed her hand and she came back. Probably is the last chance that some can have. The Jesus will grab your hand and says, rise up. And he will do it. Remember, he's walking close to you, to your life, but he's waiting for you to cry out. He's waiting for us to cry out on any circumstances, in any situation. Sometimes we feel like we're giving up. See, the scripture says that those that trust in the Lord, they will be like the buffalo. You know, I don't know much about buffalo. What is all about buffaloes? But I recently read that the strength of the buffalo is when he's kneeling down. He can resist so much when he's on his knees. Let's try it, brothers. Let's try it, sisters, friends. Try it. Come to your knees, and you will be able to be overcomer. The Lord bless you.